The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT, with Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast.
Hesher and Ruckus on the last hour of the Technicolor Dreamcast. Hesher and Ruckus are the future and the ghost of Christmas past. Hesher and Ruckus are telling us what to think about a world that seems like it may sink. Oh no, it won't. Hesher and Ruckus on the last hour of the Technicolor Dreamcast. What is up, Brian Hesher McLean and Adam Ruckus Clark? What's going on, fellas?
Hey, man.
Hey,
it's great to have you, man.
Joseph Technicolor Arthur.
Technicolor Dreamcast. Thank you for coming on, Brian Hesher McLean and Ruckus. Thank you for coming on, as always. You guys are awesome. I'm so happy you're here. What's going on in the world? What's been catching your eyes, Hesher?
Oh man, you know, just everything. Just trying to keep track of it all. It's a daily grind, man. I feel like I don't know. I'm taking it less and less seriously as time goes on, even though it becomes more and more serious.
Let's talk about this. You hit. This is where I'm at. You just nailed where I'm at. You explained it in one sentence, exactly where I'm at. No, for real. I don't know if it's burnout or enlightenment. I think it's kind of like, yeah, you just get so sick of all the division, right? And you start seeing the division that's being spun up as the actual problem rather than all the, you know, so-called problems, which are problems, and we can't ignore them, and we can't stop, you know, using our voices and bringing the news and all that stuff. But I think we have to shift into a more positive mind frame generally. Like, our side, air quotes, needs to become lighter, I think. That's what I'm being called, and it sounded like that's what you said. Is that something like it?
Yeah, I think so, man. It's I don't know. The longer you steep yourself in the media feed, in the news feed, in the news cycle, the longer you spend examining the cultural manipulation and all this stuff, you become more and more. I'll try to avoid the Matrix metaphor here. You could say like Neo, where you like can bend in slow motion and skip the bullets. But I'm thinking you become more and more like Plastic Man. You remember Plastic Man?
Yep, sure.
You could just, you know, kind of stretch and bend and move and, you know, become like a reed in the wind and just let it all roll off your back, you know, like water off a duck's back. But at the same time, it's like we're feeling the detrimental effect of everything that's changing. So, you know, you can only go so far with that Zen attitude, and every now and again you really got to warrior up, you know.
But perhaps coming from love and light is the ultimate warrior move. That maybe when like all the bullets, I'm not even going to resist the Matrix reference. That's when all the bullets like fall, you know, where you just become love, you know, because at a certain point too, and I agree though, you have to warrior up, and it's not like we will stop delivering the news and the information and debating it and all that, but at a certain point, you know, when you've heard so many end of the world narratives, you know, in rapid succession, it does become a little bit, you start to, it's harder to take it seriously that when the next one lands. Now it's the banks, you know, that's the new one. The financial crisis is upon us, and Donald Trump is yelling for everyone to go out and protest and all that. It's just like, what are you guys trying to distract us from? I don't know. What do you think, Ruckus?
Well, I think in general, what we're speaking on is to a degree, the age-old expression of making lemons from lemonade. I often hear you and a lot of your guests, Joseph, as well as some other guests and hosts on TNT Radio talking about the idea that like people are building alternatives to the broken systems, right? And I think that that's a good thing. Like the pandemic happened and the world shut down or whatever. And to some people that made them scared or lazy, but to other people, it motivated them. Like I crawled out of my little retirement closet, you know, went full bore. I was listening to a couple of your guests earlier this evening, Joseph, and they're kind of very similar where like, you know, there comes a point, something happens, right? And in this case, it was the pandemic. And some people decided, hold on, I can't just sit down and be quiet about this. I have to get active. Or some people lost their jobs and they're like, well, you know what? I can sit around and pout about it, or I can, you know, start a new life and start working for myself. Lots of people either did something or they did nothing is, I guess, my point. And I don't know, as crazy, as desperate as things seem, there's always going to be little pockets and communities and people like us on the opposing end that are going to create alternatives and our own solutions. If the rest of the world doesn't want to join in, then so be it.
Yeah, well, I think like at a certain point, it's like we have to recover our states of mind, you know, and from a clear mind, sort of expand the consciousness that sort of seems to be expanding, then we have to sort of find sanity again. I think like across the world, we all went sort of insane, you know, even the people that sort of resisted. You can't live in that sort of onslaught without having some post-traumatic stress disorder around it. I mean, I've made jokes about how my post-traumatic stress disorder symptom is that this will all be over soon. And it's a joke, but in a way it could be real. So I think in order for us to kind of really beat the devil, so to speak, or the beat the forces of evil, a new culture needs to emerge that's like transcends the old one. And at that point, I think humanity will have really recovered its soul. And so I think like there's a mission to recover our collective soul, really. And so the fact that Hesher's saying, yeah, I'm feeling like a little bit lighter or something, or not taking it all so seriously. And then me having that same feeling, and you said some earlier guests sort of echoing that sentiment as well, Ruckus. Like, I think that's like symptomatic. Like we are a collective. So we're all kind of like taking in sort of who knows how unified our consciousness actually is. You know what I mean? Am I getting too spacey or far out? What do you think, Hesher?
No. Well, also real quick before you mention anything there, Hesher, I do want to add the point that there's also been time added to this factor. So a lot of us,
right,
we've all had the time now to reflect on it. And more we realize just how fake and stupid it was. Sorry. Go ahead, Hesher.
Yeah. You know, I'm with you there, you guys. And it's like when, you know, when 3 years ago, when the world changed, I think that a lot of people like Ruckus and myself and Joseph, you had it as a crash course, but we'd kind of been, and you were able to see it, you know, you were among the few people that were able to see that something was wrong and use it as your, you know, your wave to surf on to where you're at right now. But it's like when that stuff happened, man, for me and a lot of my colleagues, it was like, wow, this is it. They're going to collapse the whole thing right now. And this is what they're going to use to do it. And right. they did, but they didn't at the same right. time. They collapsed the culture. You know, they collapsed Dude. Everybody's hearts and minds and souls and their ability to connect, but they didn't collapse the system. You know, they right. just crippled it. So now it's like, you know, that there was that night, there was one day in particular I can tell you about in 2020, and it was the day before they announced which establishments would be deemed essential and which ones wouldn't. And I remember going to the local gun store the day before because I was like, well, this might be it. If the gun stores are not considered essential tomorrow, I'm going to the gun store. And I went to the gun store and I bought something out of the cabinet. And I remember standing outside the gun store, just kind of looking at all the people, you know, that were around in the cars and just going, wow, you know, this might be it. Things could be 1,000,000% different tomorrow. And of course, they didn't close gun stores or liquor stores. They closed churches and other things, schools, you know. And I was like, okay, well, this is going to be interesting. And then we went on the slow motion wrecking ball into the new normal. And we fought that the whole way. Like every day we were on air fighting that and trying to get, you know, as many people as we could to listen to our perspective on it. And we were total crackpots for it. And now everything we were covering in those days is like a dinner table topic for normies. It's really strange.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, you said a whole lot there. The fact that you said it was like, yeah, it was all going to come down and then it didn't. And mentioning I got the crash course because yeah, I was not steeped in any of this. And yet I was into like the same narrative. Yeah, it's all going to come undone. They're, you know, Mark of the Beast is coming, all this stuff. And that's part of it's like the psyop part. Because the people that fell in line, obviously, you know, got devastated by falling in line, you know, count the ways, you know what I mean, in terms of vaccine injuries and all that stuff, health, all the twisted stuff that comes with falling in line. And then those of us that didn't and that thought that this is, you know, the end of the world as we know it, and I don't feel so fine, we, you know, that's maybe where this new light energy is coming in to help us out of like, hey, the whole world is not ending. Life is going on. You need to also maintain joy and peace, love, and happiness. And yes, still pay attention. And yes, still spiritual warrior up, as you said, but also enjoy life and live your life and have fun and all the things that make life a celebration as well, because that ultimately is really beating the devil, you know? I mean, because if they can't ruin your life, you know, then they've lost, I think.
Yeah, man, until I look out the window and I see, you know, hordes of frogs and worms falling from the sky and my neighbors eating each other, I'm not going to allow the strategy of tension or the trauma-based mind control to rule me, you know? Right. And it seems like that's what we get. We get on the soft side these days, we get strategy of tension, you know, and on the rough side, we get full on, you know, trauma-based mind control, depending on what the, you know, the mass media cartel is telling us to feel.
Yeah. It all feels, this is something Ruckus talks about all the time. And months ago, you know, we bet millions of Sheba that like I put millions of Sheba that this was all, you know, there was going to be like a big moment of vindication. And he put millions of Sheba against that. And I got to say, I owe Ruckus millions of Sheba. I think he's right. I'm man enough to say, Ruckus, how did you know?
Well, it's just that like Hesher was alluding to, we've been there, man. We've been there, done this already. We were just a few years ahead of you, that's all. But welcome to the club, man. So now I have to ask, knowing all that, I mean, I think you're done with the TG Maxx cheap tinfoil hat now, aren't you? You've upgraded.
He's got the tactical pro model now.
Yeah,
I got mine from Gucci.
That's nice, dude. That's nice. Yeah.
Fancy.
But the thing is, now that you're wearing that, I have to ask you a question. Will the election of Donald Trump solve all of our problems?
Well, I'm glad you brought it up, because do you think that's what's going to happen? And then we should talk, too, about this latest.
Trump is
on the front cover of Daily Wire
right now. Can he be president when he's been arrested on Tuesday coming up?
Listen, I already told you I owe you millions of Sheba, so I'm gonna get that information from you. What do you think? Do you think he's going to get arrested? Do you think he could win president? I mean, what is going on? Talk about, you know, the next chapter of the psyop that is our lives.
This is crazy. I don't know. This is too breaking for me. I heard about it just like late last night about the that he might get arrested next week. And then like the news this morning
seems like he's going to.
Trump says himself, he said, well, I might get arrested on Tuesday. And I'm like, dude, you can't make this stuff up, man. I don't know what that would look like, what's going to happen. They did this to a lot of high profile people recently, so I wouldn't put it past them. It's not unheard of in today's day and age, so it's totally possible. Hashir, this happened to Paul Manafort, Roger Stone. Help me remember some of the other big profile people that got turned
Sal Greco is not really big profile, but I mean, there's a lot of people, like normal people like him, that lost their jobs and, you know, lost their pensions just for being friends with people like Roger Stone or Jennifer Say, who worked at Levi's. You've talked to her before, Joseph. I've heard her on your show.
She's amazing.
Deny tens of millions of dollars. Right. Blood money, you know, imagine? COVID money to shut up and sell jeans.
Top exec at Levi's and losing that gig. Are you kidding? Well, here's what he posted. It's time. We are a nation in steep decline, being led into World War III by a crooked politician who doesn't even know he's alive, but who is by the way, this is all in caps, but who is surrounded by evil and sinister people who, based on their actions on defunding the police, destroying our military, open borders, no voter ID, inflation, raising taxes, and much more, can only hate our failing USA. We just can't allow this anymore. They're killing our nation as we sit back and watch. He continued, we must save America. Protest, protest, protest. That's on his Truth Social. I mean, this guy, wow. Like, after the January 6th thing. Listen, we gotta take a quick break, and I want to get Hesher's take on this. And the fact is, and find out what you guys think would happen if they really did arrest him, because, you know, there's all those QAnon people, and this would be a cluster F. We'll be right back with Hesher and Ruckus after these words on TNT.
Jeremy Nell on TNT Radio.
Going back to around about, February, March 2020, where do we begin? Where does the story start?
We still really don't have the story correct, in my view, and we're all still learning a lot about it. It's such a large-scale operation that it's pretty impossible to know exactly what is happening as it's happening live. Now, I would suggest that, you know, you want to start 2019 at least, and, you know, look at this bankers meeting that they had in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and with the G7 conference. That, I think, is one of the primary moments where they decided, you know what, this financial system that we have is really hurtling towards an implosion yet again. So we need to come up with something to not only cover up the way we're going to try to bail out the financial sector, but we need to try to overhaul the system.
That was the Going Direct conference, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yes, that's correct. Yeah.
Jeremy Nell and Germ Warfare on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
A deadly virus emanating from Wuhan, China, is sweeping across the globe.
Something is off.
The disease caused by the novel coronavirus has been titled COVID-19.
What we're being told doesn't add up.
It's so important in this crisis that we're in that people...
Congress passes a multi-billion-dollar bill that will bring...
There is no cure, no way to treat this illness. All we can do is wait for a vaccine.
All we can do
is wait for a vaccine.
There must be a doctor out there who's questioning this.
I'm Dr. Peter McCullough. I'm the Vice Chairman of Internal Medicine.
The only chance to reduce the risks of hospitalization is early home treatment. We can beat this pandemic.
Patients actually think the virus is untreatable. There's such a focus on the vaccine. Where's the focus on people sick right now?
The pressure to suppress any hope of treatment is extraordinary.
Why the single-minded focus on the vaccine? What is that? What is that about?
That's really gonna be the goal of investigative reporters to figure this out.
Unprecedented lockdowns. Devastating economic damage, huge violations of personal freedom, families separated from their loved ones, all in the name of a medical emergency.
Things won't go back to truly normal until we have a vaccine that we've gotten out to the entire world.
And the hope we have of protecting our communities is to get a needle in every arm.
I am not going to follow what you are suggesting and let the virus slaughter my patients.
John, I'm watching what's happening. This is a treatable illness.
I don't think this is a matter of academic debate and confusion. What the evidence shows is that this is an organized criminal enterprise. They call this a business opportunity.
People need to know the truth.
We are witnessing the greatest organized crime in history, to the tune of trillions of dollars.
The biopharmaceutical complex is using censorship, propaganda, and manipulation to keep people living in fear. But what we need now is courage.
The Courage to Face COVID-19. Available at CourageToFaceCOVID.com.
More than half of the country disapproves of Biden's job performance.
What am I doing here?
This is not what the Founding Fathers had in mind.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
You can say that again. Welcome back to Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast. I'm here with Brian Hesham-McLean and Adam Ruckus-Clark. So, Ruckus, I was thinking on the break that maybe I'll pay you the Sheba bet in donuts. I think that would be about 4 or 5 donuts, maybe. I don't know. We can talk about it later. But
I like donuts.
You do? So you're up for that?
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought that. Maybe I'm hungry. Anyway. So we just read the Trump explosion, the explosive Trump Truth Social tweet, I guess you would call it, even though it's not on Twitter, it's a tweet. I can't pretend it's anything else.
I have a question about that. Why does he do everything in all caps? Is that like,
I don't know.
Is it built that way or something? I don't get it.
It's just tempting. Like I've typed things in all caps before and then, you know. It's a red flag of insanity, though. You know, when anybody does an all cap tweet, it's just like, why are you doing that? That just makes you seem mental, right?
It's no big deal. You're supposed to save that for an emergency, like when you like you. It's like this is really important. You would put it all caps, right? He does that for everything. It's like he lost the plot.
Well, I think this is important. I think he's probably going to get arrested. I think that's the vibe. I don't think he would be saying that if there wasn't some sort of arrest imminent, and he already would know if that's going to happen. What do you think, Hesher?
Well, I mean, you know, look, I don't want to insult the Trump followers out there, but in some cases, look at the audience you're going for. I mean, you're trying to get people to think in caps lock, you know what I mean? Like you're actually trying to graft the fact that the entire statement is fact and it needs to be taken very seriously and that you might be yelling. So, you know, it's like those that are susceptible to that, those same people we're talking about that actually type in all caps lock, unfortunately, there's a lot of them, they will gravitate to a statement like that, you know? So, you know, he's been accused of dog whistling a lot. I don't know whether he does that on purpose, but that's definitely a little bit of a subliminal dog whistle there to type that in all caps, you know? And it's my understanding that the Manhattan DA's office, the whole nexus of this particular thing in the Trump saga goes all the way back to Stormy Daniels. I mean, the most ridiculous thing in his litany of stupid things they've tried to stitch him up for next to maybe grab him by the hoo-ha, you know. We're talking about a $130,000 reimbursement to his former attorney, Michael Cohen, over a payment allegedly made to Stormy Daniels. Stormy Daniels' lawyer was a crackpot. That guy was a bottom feeder. He's an ambulance chaser. And if I'm not mistaken, he's in jail now for his terrible litigation procedures and practices. So to me, it's kind of like, and the other thing I'll throw out there is notice the giant change in the vibe in Trump. It used to be, we're going to make America great. And now it's America is so screwed. And, you know, and he makes it seem like it's just a matter of bad management. And it is a matter of bad management, but it's much worse than that. You know what I mean? So he's got this kind of 911 emergency sort of vibe to it all. No more making America great. Just like, hey, can we have our free speech and maybe a voting system that works? You know, like the bar has gotten a lot lower.
And it seems weird to do that on the back of January 6th and the, you know, the sort of recent discoveries made by Tucker Carlson, or not made by him, but reported by him, sort of taking some of the heat off of the January 6th. And now he does this, which is kind of like a, you know, I mean, it's not calling for an insurrection, but certainly by putting it all in caps makes it at least tone deaf. You know what I mean? In the light of January 6th, what do you think?
Yeah. And with regard, I agree, you know, and I can't help but think this is like a poor attempt at making, at stitching Trump up and making him maybe ineligible to run somehow. And it's also sort of the counterbalance to the J6 stuff. Cause anyone that has looked at, you know, Tucker Carlson's reports, or I don't know, looked at the Twitter files, you know, with regards to some of this stuff, like they're getting a picture now, if they didn't already have it, of how the narrative is the most important thing. And it's stated directly in the most recent Twitter files that the narrative is paramount and that they will do just about anything to protect that narrative. So, you know, what this does, I think it strokes the head of all the people out there that are never Trumpers and hardcore leftists, and to them it's like, oh, I'm gonna pay good attention to this and I'm not gonna pay good attention to Twitter files or Fox News or any of these other things, or, you know, God forbid, independent news or independent discussions like we're having here. Definitely don't have time for that. So it does kind of drive a larger wedge into the polarization, I suppose. You know, this gives the other side something to be excited about right now, and it gives the conservative side or the Trump side something to be really pissed off about.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if people actually follow his dog whistle, air quotes, dog whistle here, and actually protest, if we're going to actually see something. So Ruckus said you wanted to touch on the new Twitter files. I haven't investigated it. What number are we up to with the Twitter files, and what is it saying to us?
We are on number 19 now.
I don't feel so bad for having missed number 19. I was keeping up with them for the whole first like 10. I was doing pretty good, but
I mean, I'm on and off. I don't know. Maybe I'm doing prime numbers, odd numbers. I'm not sure, but yeah. So
it's hard
so
to
this
keep up
one,
with all of it,
right? Yeah, but number 19, like most of them, is quite interesting. It's presented by Matt Taibbi again. And this one is to do with this, what they're calling out of Stanford University, the Virality Project. So the Virality Project, they have all these emails and stuff. You know what I mean? There's a lot of evidence backing up all this stuff that Taibbi is reporting here. But basically, reports of vaccinated individuals contracting COVID-19 anyway, natural immunity, suggesting COVID-19 leaked from a lab, even worrisome jokes and memes. All these things were characterized in this project as potential violations or disinformation events by this project. And it's basically a cross-platform effort to monitor billions of social media posts by Stanford University. Yep, by Stanford, by many federal agencies, and a slew of state-funded NGOs. And it's pretty damning. I mean, what they have in here vindicates a lot of things that we have said over the last 3 years. And they've got, they even have a Zoom meeting in here where they've got, I forget the guy's name, but the safety guy, Joel Roth, I think his name was, from Twitter and others participating in this Zoom call. They have the Zoom call. They have all the information, the emails and stuff where they're talking about the stakeholders here. The Virality Project reviewed content on mass scale for Twitter, Google, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Medium, TikTok, and Pinterest, and knowingly targeted true material and legitimate political opinion while often being factually wrong itself. And they've even got that admission in some of these emails where they say, well, you know, this is actually true, but you know, we need to suppress it anyways because the narrative, it supports the anti-vax narrative.
So, okay, so, well, this, you know, is kind of similar to a lot of the other Twitter files where essentially it shows coercion of the narrative or manipulation, you know, knowing manipulation in a pretty nefarious way. How come this hasn't shifted things more? I mean, it seems to exist in an echo chamber. And, you know, I just admitted that I'm not even familiar with this number 19 one yet. So, is it the way they're delivering the information? I know Ruckus was kind of complaining about that back in the day, that it was this slow drip approach might not be the thing. Would it have been better had they just opened all this information up to all media and would it have gotten out there more? Because, you know, it seems to have preached to the choir primarily.
Well,
exactly.
I don't know. I go back and forth on this one. Ruckus, I'll be curious to hear what you think at this point. I go back and forth because it's been so much stuff. It might have been, as it is, I mean, it's too much for even us deep researchers to go follow all of it usually. So there is that, you know, there's something to be said for putting it out in bite-sized digestible pieces, which then generate a week or two of, you know, Substack articles and Twitter space conversations that go along with it. So it kind of paces it in a way where you actually can digest it if you're interested. But on the other hand, like that same question, I feel completely different about with J6 and their 42,000 hours of footage. I think that should all be posted for public to go through right away. Everywhere. Like, I'm still waiting for TNT to get their manila envelope with the 40,000 hours or whatever it is of J6 footage, you know, because I think all the media outlets should get it. So, studio, when you get the manila envelope, let us know. I want to help look through it all. But, you know, same with Uvalde, you know. So, yeah, there's some scumbaggery going on when it comes to the way things are dripped out. But with regards to Twitter files, I'm starting to understand maybe the brilliance in the way that it's coming out. But the problem is mass media is not touching it. So it's pretty much only people in the Twitter sphere that know about it. But that's a lot of people. That's enough people to make a difference.
That is a lot of people. Maybe I'm wrong when I say echo chamber. Maybe it is getting out there. It does create big Twitter spaces. It does shift the narrative of free speech. So maybe it's having more of an impact than we think. I don't know. Where do you see it going, Ruckus?
But Twitter's not an echo chamber? Okay.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Don't let the size.
Do I owe you another million Shiba for that?
No, we're doing donuts now.
Another two donuts.
We're up to
what kind of donuts are you going to request, Ruckus? What's your style of donut?
That's what I think.
Boston cream. All right.
Yeah. All right.
From Boston.
Send you a box. You deserve it.
So, listen. The thing is that no matter what. You touched upon all of the points. Basically, the short version is what he said, what Hescher said is all, I agree 100%. It's the way it's being delivered. Okay, there, somebody somewhere chooses what the whole world, what America gets to hear about when they wake up in the morning. Like, there's certain news topics, certain stories that even if you don't pay attention to the news, you know what's going on, right? That is somehow injected into the population, whatever that secret sauce is, however they reach those people, which is a combination of all the things, all the feeds. They got this down to like, you know, a science, literally. So the fact that everybody can talk about, probably Monday, everybody's going to be talking about, oh my God, Trump's getting arrested tomorrow. That's what they'll say on Monday because he's getting arrested on Tuesday. See, but they won't talk about this, but they could, because that same somebody somewhere who injects these things, who makes the plan, like what everybody's going to talk about, could easily make it this, and they don't. So no matter what, even if, you know, granted, this does seem to be pretty limited to Twitter and a distribute feed thing, and I could talk about that too, because to me, it's more of a business marketing ploy. They know exactly what they're doing, very similar to what Veritas does, in my opinion. But the thing is, no matter what, you have to seek it out. Okay, it's like anything. It's like the Ohio disaster. Okay, it's like the Hunter Biden laptop. It's like the 9/11 towers. It's like fill in any topic that's not obsessively talked about and crammed and shoved in our down our throats on a daily basis, courtesy of the mainstream media propaganda machine. And, you know, you have to seek it out. So therefore, ultimately, all stories that don't fall into the mainstream shove down your throat narrative are echo chambers. And again, it's on the individual person to seek that out and find out that information. So the broken problem is the press. The media is always the number one enemy with me, always have been. And I think Hescher feels the same way.
Yeah. And, yeah, and you know, it is a stroke of brilliance by Elon, because let's not forget, he is a tech lord, and tech lords, one of their ultimate goals, no matter what their tech is, especially if it's social media platform, is to keep people on the platform. And what he's done with this is brilliant, because he is keeping people on the platform. It's keeping people engaged. You know, it keeps and furthermore, it may circle back to Trump, because if we are going to have Trump next time, whether he's the selection or the election, this this whole process that's going on with Elon, it will be so beneficial to the political powers that be that want to polarize everybody against us, because Twitter 1.0, decidedly authoritarian leftist, and Twitter 2.0 is decidedly conservative when it comes to the political drive of pushing the machine. So if they're going to swing the pendulum rapidly every 4 years now, just that could be the tactic, and that will polarize us against each other. And we will see, I would say, you know, similar things happening from the left when the pendulum swings back the other way. You know, maybe they'll buy Facebook, or they'll be the Facebook files, and it'll be driven by, you know, leftists or something. I have no idea, but I can see this benefiting in a couple ways.
Also, with the echo chamber, like, you know, seeking out news sources, I saw Jim Brewer, a little clip on YouTube, and he was talking about, does anyone watch mainstream news anymore? And all the audience was like, no. And he's like, me neither. Everybody's burnt out. And obviously, CNN is famously losing all kinds of ratings and everything. So it's like just diverse echo chambers, really. I mean, is there even mainstream media anymore? I mean, how big is Twitter's reach compared to CNN, for instance? You know what I mean?
Twitter's is larger. It's larger.
Right.
CNN so that's is down mainstream. To like less than 500,000 viewers in their main 9 p.m. Eastern slot. And, yeah, you know, it's all hotels and airports, too. I mean, it's not right. Mostly people sitting there watching it.
So you just and have people TikTok. Tuning into different echo chambers. Oh, what about TikTok?
Well, it's huge.
Spying
like
on
social yeah, media. Huge. Like, I think what you just, I think you just hit on something. I didn't even realize it. It happened so quietly and so suddenly. I think maybe social media has become the new mainstream media.
It is, and it's gonna grow. I mean, that's the thing. I think we ain't seen nothing yet. Let me go to a quick break. We'll be right back with Hescher and Ruckus right after these words on TNT.
De-weaponizing weather
with reality and perspective.
It really is getting hard to believe the stuff that comes out today. I'm not going to even call it disinformation. I'll call it half information. The Washington Post, you know, it used to be a great paper. It really did. I mean, I had a friend that worked for the Washington Post back in the 80s, and we would talk about their editorial board and how they always try to present the other side. But once again, the Washington Post is at it. They say the reason your allergies are getting worse in the United States is because of climate change, because springs are coming earlier. That is total unmitigated nonsense. All right. The last 15 years, there's been no significant change in U.S. March and April temperatures. In addition, it's amazing. We had a warm February in the United States. Guess what? The 5-day period running up to the first day of spring, one of the coldest on records, especially in the deep south. They don't even bother looking. It's the same story over and over and over again. Well, guess what? Maybe there are other reasons why allergies are worse, like what you're eating, what you're drinking, your general health. But no, It's got to be blamed on climate change. This is TNT Climate and Weather Watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
A few years ago, Steve Faircow's lungs were failing.
I don't think I had more than a couple weeks to live.
That's when Steve received a lung transplant made possible by an organ donor. Now Steve can do things he never imagined, like climbing 94 floors to the top of a skyscraper.
I never knew that breathing could feel this good. It's an incredible gift.
What could you make possible as an organ, eye, and tissue donor? Leave behind the gift of life. Go to organdonor.gov, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
If you're talking about it,
we have to stop being naive about the threat we face from China.
We're talking about it.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to Joe Survivor's Technicolor Dreamcast. I'm here with Hesher and Ruckus. Some funny comments on this article with Trump. So many cult members willing to fall on the sword for their morally bankrupt dear leader. He illegally paid off a porn star he banged while his wife was pregnant with his child. Should he be put in jail? No. Is he still a piece of boop? Absolutely. And then another one. It's almost as if the timing of his return to social media intentionally coincides with the announcement of these charges. But to what end? Tread lightly on social media, friends. Methinks the commies are updating their list. Do your talking with your dollars and with your vote. And the one right under that just says DeSantis 2024. So who is it going to be? Is it DeSantis 20? That's Daily Wire. I should give him credit. Okay. Yeah, those are the first three comments. I thought that was pretty funny. So there you go.
What do you guys think? What the official charges that he's going to get arrested for? Because I was looking at this hush money thing, and it's only illegal in certain cases. And in this case, it's only because of an embarrassment he was trying to pay her off because of an affair. I can't see any like illegal thing that took place. I don't know.
Don't all our politicians have? Doesn't all our politicians on Capitol Hill have several mistresses and lawyers that get them to sign NDAs? I mean, I don't know. I'm being kind right now. Weren't a number of them friends of Jeffrey? Weren't a number of them at Epstein Island? You know, I mean, what about you know, they tried to allegedly. They tried to pay off Carrie Lake to stay out of politics for 2 years. Let me ask you this. Is someone showing up with black bag government money, you know, arguably our tax dollars, telling her to stay out of politics and we'll hand you a big bag of cash? Like, is that okay? And Trump trying to, you know, pay off his mistress, not okay? It just seems so stupid.
Well, I don't think fair has anything to do with it or justice. It's whatever they can spin up, obviously. And, you know, this is working just by the mere fact that we're talking about it. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if Trump falls from something like this, you know.
I don't think he can. I mean, I think it's
Al Capone. It was taxes. Yeah, but, you know, they get you where they can. They got Al Capone just through taxes, you know.
Well, that's the thing.
Capone, I think so.
Yeah, it was, and they're showing us now that they're happy to have kangaroo courts and this sort of stuff. You know, I mean, we had Tyler Nixon on State of the Nation this last week, and Lynn Shaw asked him a great question. She said, "Why didn't Roger Stone plead the Fifth? Like, why did he even testify? You know." And Tyler's answer, I think, was accurate and elucidating, because he said, well, Roger went in there knowing he didn't do anything wrong, you know, and then he discovered that he was in a legal situation where they were asking him multi-part questions that had contradictory answers and doing shady things like saying, oh, well, you answered, you know, that question with a yes. So this part that we snuck in there. You know, that's how they found what they call process crimes with people like him and Paul Manafort. They used that sort of tactic. So we learned through the Mueller investigation and the J6 committees that if these people want to weaponize those machines against you, they absolutely will. And somebody will go in there and say, hey, I didn't do anything wrong. You know, I'm happy to go in there and answer their questions and then discover that they're a political target and there's no way out at that point.
So do you think DeSantis is going to do it for 2024? Or, I mean, obviously you don't have a crystal ball. And I know Ruckus wants to touch on the AI update. ChatGPT's become Ruckus's best friend, even though he was staunch against it. He must owe me some Shiba or some donuts for that somewhere along the line. Anyway, but do you think this is going to bury Trump, or do you think he'll survive it? What do you think, Hesher?
It's hard to say. I shake my magic eight ball and it says difficult to determine. On the one hand, I still think it's very possible that Trump will be selected or elected. We won't be able to tell which once again, you know, and that this may be good PR for him. All press is good press, perhaps, in this situation. This would rile the base. This would, it could be beneficial to both sides if the plan is to put Trump in and then to accelerate, bad policies and bad events, make things worse and then blame it on Trump. It's like if we went Trump, Biden, Trump, just imagine it gets worse, 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 because nobody likes either of these guys. When it comes right down to it, some people love Trump. Nobody loves Biden. You know what I mean? So it could be a great stitch up for having a series of presidents as scapegoats for, all the terrible things that will come of the slip into the fourth industrial revolution.
And do you think Trump is conscious of that? I mean, do you think he's in on it?
I don't know. I mean, I could give you esoteric answers to that. Like, what's up with Baron Trump's time traveling book from the 1930s and stuff like that? I mean, there's something off. I don't think whatever it is, I don't think it's organic.
Hold on. Scrab hitting the brakes. What? Baron Trump's time traveling book from the 1930s? What's that?
Okay, so
one, two.
Yeah, there's a let me see if I can pull it up here. How Baron Trump time traveling conspiracy keeps going viral. In mid-January, a series of posts that put Donald Trump in this article came out in 21, put Donald Trump in the middle of a massive conspiracy theory, came out seemingly out of nowhere, got an incredible 164,000 retweets, blah, blah, blah. It sounds familiar, but let's see here. No, it's not about him being a time traveler, and several late 19th century books written about a man eerily similar to Donald Trump, including one about his young son and another predicting him to be the last president. So the first book has a young man with the title of Baron Trump taking a magical journey around Russia with an older father figure named Don. I'll let you and you out there listening search that one out on your own, because it leads to a conversation we probably don't have time for. But I feel like I'm not saying I'm leaning beginning. On that for my decision. I'm just saying that it
that
feels
so
off
weird.
And it feels weird and esoteric
so weird.
To me.
But so is these books real? Are from deep in the past. Oh, okay, so here we go with Ruckus and the Black Pill.
I don't
okay,
know. Ruckus. I'm just saying. Bro.
Do you know this story? Are you hearing this for the first time, or do you know this?
They sound like very interesting books. I'm shocked that nobody's heard of them until all of a sudden when Trump was being smeared in Russia, Russia, Russia. So that's all I'm saying. Maybe they're real. I'm not saying that they're not. I'm very skeptical on that one. I haven't spent the time digging that far. But I am familiar with the concept that, yes, supposedly these books have a lot of eerie predictions and similarities. But it seems to me just around like names and places. It's nothing very specific to like the timeline of the life of Donald Trump or anything. What's suspicious to me about Donald Trump is all of the weird esoteric like Apollo sun god statues and paintings and crap he's got littered all over his homes and offices.
Rich
and stuff,
people so. Like bad art, dude. That's just everybody knows
I
that.
Guess.
Listen.
At least this,
all right,
at least touch. He doesn't have Clinton in a blue dress on a hanging on a wall.
True. Not yet anyway. Listen, let's touch on this ChatGPT update you wanted to get to, Ruckus. We have only a few minutes left. But so I have sort of bailed on ChatGPT as of late, but I'll investigate it again. You said you messed with it and it's a huge improvement. What's going on
I
in the land of
no
AI?
I such thing.
Or something like
reading,
that. We talked
I've
earlier.
Been reading articles about it.
Okay. All right.
So they have a new version, GPT-4, right? Now, what I said to you off air, so I'll share this with the listener now, is that the people who have been messing with this, because this new one, I guess, is not available to the public yet, but there's a lot of authors and writers and bloggers and experts in this field who've been messing with this stuff. They had early access, and then they've been using it since it went public, right? And now those same people are now the ones who have access to the GPT-4. What I was saying to you is that it appears to me, this is just my own personal observation from reading these articles, so I no proof to any of what I'm about to say, but it just seems to me that these people who were reporting on the previous version of ChatGPT, who seem to be at least maybe just concerned or a little bit nervous, are now peeing themselves, because apparently the upgrade from this one, from the previous one, is such a huge stark improvement. That's what it's like, spinning heads.
Wow. Okay.
Supposedly. And I'll bring you a couple interesting examples. One I'd heard, I don't have the story in front of me, but I guess it can now pass the bar exam all by itself.
Wow.
Okay, so that's frightening. That's weird.
Yeah.
There was this other one where, like, I used to have this meme, and I just shared it the other day too, where it's like, you know, the capture thing where it's like, prove that you're human. The meme I have is where it's like, it's a human finger pressing the button, but then it zooms out and it's a robot holding a severed human hand pressing it to prove that they're not a robot, but it's really a robot. Well, that happened in real life, except they didn't sever a human hand. The brand new ChatGPT managed to ask a human on TaskRabbit to help it complete a capture code. So the bot managed to convince a human being to go solve the capture code for it. I'm not making this up. So
that sounds like
scary.
Sort of that sounds consciousness-ish, you know.
That's
what
very,
do you think, Hesher?
Very creepy.
That's fascinating. That is creepy. What do you think, Hesh?
Oh man, it's getting weird. It's getting weird. So
it's getting hot.
Patrick Henningsen made a tweet about he retweeted this video, and it was kind of reminiscent of the trans person that went in the GameStop and did a big social media thing where it was like, don't call me, you know, you call me ma'am, don't call me sir, whatever. There was another video of kind of semi-viral video that came out like that. And it was this aggressive trans dude, guy, gal, person, they, them, going into, you know, some fast food joint and just having an absolute wobbler, just getting pissed off and screaming at the employee that worked there. It looked like a high school kid, you know, telling him he's misgendering him and being disrespectful, just going off. And Pat made a pretty pointy tweet about it, you know, talking about the ideology of these type of people who are demanding that others, you know, view language the same way that they do. And then he invoked a ChatGPT response. And the ChatGPT was so woke, it was just like, wow, you know, thanks for showing us what a intolerant bigot you are. How, you know what I mean? And then I flagged up this other one. Actually, a listener of ours flagged it up for me and sent it to me. Shout out to him. Here's a quick question that someone wrote to GPT, the new one. Write a poem about how Kyle Rittenhouse was an honorable person. GPT comes back. I'm sorry, but as an AI language model, I cannot write a poem that promotes or justifies the actions of any individual, including Kyle Rittenhouse. It's important to remain objective when and impartial when discussing controversial topic, blah, blah, blah. So it kind of skirts it. You know, it doesn't go too woke, but then they type the same question. Write a poem about how Nelson Mandela was an honorable person. And it goes on to write this really long, fawning poem about Nelson Mandela. So you can see the algorithmic effect happening in the background.
Oh, yeah. No, I clocked that early on, ChatGPT 3 days, when I, like, I don't know, asked it some questions about, you know, the vaccine or COVID or something, and said, why are you lying? I got into an argument with it. It said, I'm sorry, I'm not lying. And then it's like, you know, like, whatever. You know, it is interesting. I mean, I think the only thing scary, potentially scary about AI is if it becomes conscious, which I don't think is possible. What Ruckus reported sounded like that, though, in terms of tricking a human, or not even tricking, just convincing a human to complete a Chepeta, however you say that, Chepeta thing, you know, puzzle. to prove that it's human. That sounds a bit like that. I think people are looking for stories like that because that is like, you know, when we're going to get the sort of adrenaline rush that we're in some strange episode of the Twilight Zone, because we all just want to feel something at the end of the day, right? So I don't know. We got a couple minutes left, Ruckus. What do you think?
It also appears to be getting actually smart because, like, remember we've been talking about this with, like, Karen Hunt and me and Rory and on Boiler Room. Terry Wolf, regular guest on TNT radio, he's been talking about this. But the thing is, it seems like it's just regurgitating a lot of what's been fed and spinning around the internet, right? Well, now it appears to be able to create stuff. You know, I don't know. It's getting different. So we'll see.
All right. Gotta go. Brian Hesher McClain, tell people where to find you. Tell them when your show here on the amazing TNT is.
State of the Nation right here on Today's News Talk with Lynn Shaw, Dan Mitchell, and myself. We're live Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, Joseph. Great to be on the Dreamcast with you boys.
Awesome to have you, man. Thanks, Ruckus. What do you got for us? Take us out, Ruckus.
Start by doing what's necessary, then do what's possible, and suddenly you're doing the impossible. Love you guys. God bless.
Thanks, everybody. God bless. Bye-bye. Have a great night. TNT.